We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Pass the cranberry sauce where you have mashed potatoes. Ah, the turkey looks great. Thank you for being there.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thinking.
The whole world's thanking me.
Thanking you for thanking me.
The way that I got... We're really messed up.
I was going to say, I got so scared about the fact that you were singing along that I messed up those lyrics hardcore. Sorry, Linda Belcher. Happy Thanksgiving to all who celebrate. Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving, more like Thanksgiving.
I've actually seen that now. Can you believe?
I think I sent it to you.
But like also, I've seen the full episode.
Yeah.
Instead of like just that clip. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And happy Minnesota about moving out. If you would like to celebrate Thanksgiving, here's a plug. If you would like to celebrate Thanksgiving and listen to our Thanksgiving spectacular, you can subscribe to our Patreon.
Good plug.
Because we covered the Thanksgiving classic Freaky Friday. It just got released. Yeah. A few days ago. Go check it out.
Yeah. You all know that Freaky Friday is the Thanksgiving movie of all Thanksgiving mm-hmm. movies. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're just the only
Charlie
ones.
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, you know, who?
No. We're the only ones, like, you know, saying it. Everyone just kind of, like, you know, like watches it around Thanksgiving and forgets the reason for the season. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Put the Tess Coleman, put the Jamie Lee Curtis back in Thanksgiving.
Put Lindsay Lohan back in Thanksgiving.
There's a war on Thanksgiving. People are trying to take Lindsay Lohan out of it.
And I won't stand for it any longer.
I will not stand for it. I'm pissed.
I love the way you said that. Oh my gosh, the word pissed is so funny. Wow.
Thank you. I made it up.
Oh my God, who are you?
I'm a linguist.
Amazing. Are you a mini Gleek?
Oh, thank you. I literally was going to go another full episode without introducing myself. Thank you. I'll introduce myself. My mic didn't pick that up. I was knocking on the wall. Knock, 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 knock. Hello, ma'am. My name is Ian Allred, and I am a linguist. That is true. And I'm also a mini Gleek. And I'm here to sell you a Minnesota moving out.
Oh, I'll come in too. Hello, sir. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm not a linguist, but I am a mini Gleek. I don't know shit about language. Yesterday, oh my God, can I share a story with you? I live in a state where I'm allowed to do this. I took an edible the other day. And I just sat like cross-legged on the couch for probably an hour thinking like, how, where does language come from? Like, why? I was like, and how is it different from like place to place? And like, you know, I was like, how does it start? And like, who put the rules on it? Like, why did we give rules for language? Like, when did that happen? Like conjugating verbs, when did that start? Like, who invented conjugation? So I was just rolling, just like, whoa. So I became a linguist.
You are a linguist now.
Yeah, I am.
You just found the history of language. Language being different place to place makes complete and total sense to me. What doesn't make sense to me is how any two people speak the same language. Because, like, people really had to sit down and point at different objects and be like, chair.
Yeah.
Sure, let's all agree on chair.
Yeah.
Cool, that's the sky, I guess. Yeah, that sounds good to me. Like, just cavemen all deciding together what sounds would mean what things they were experiencing.
But, like, that's who decided wild. And how did they get the other people on their side?
That's what I'm saying. So, like, the fact that it's different in other places, not shocking at all, because, you know, like, different tribes who lived in different parts of the world would come about it in different ways. But I'm like, how did you get your whole tribe to agree on what to call everything? Do you think there were factions that were like, that's not fire, it's Oogla? And then there was like the Oogla faction and the fire faction, and then the fire faction won out and it stayed as fire. Something to think about.
Maybe, you know, history remembers.
I like to think mankind's earliest wars were not over land. They were about what to call everyday objects.
Yeah,
and they would just get really stubborn about it. The language wars, learn about them in school.
You ready to get in this mini-sode?
Heck yeah. Happy Thanksgiving. Let's talk about moving out.
Happy Thanksgiving. Hell yeah. Let's kick things off with our friend Han.
Hi, Ian and Lena. In the episode this week, you talked a bit about how Blaine's backup schools, being NYU and Columbia, is ridiculous considering how expensive they are. As a non-American, open parentheses, international listener, close parentheses, open parentheses,
international listener,
close parentheses, I definitely take your word for that, but I think we're missing a key point here, that Blaine slash his family are absolutely loaded. And Blaine's kind of hilariously oblivious to that fact. After watching last week's episode, I noticed something that I think the show really should have made more of, mostly because, in my opinion, it's a great opportunity for comedy. Namely, that Blaine literally buys Kurt, Rachel, and Santana a whole-ass piano as a thank you for letting him and Sam come to stay. Even an old second-hand piano is probably going to cost a couple hundred dollars minimum. I like to think that Sam suggested just getting them flowers or something, but when Blaine turned up with a priceless Ming vase, like, oh yeah, my parents have about 10 of these around the house, Sam just gave up. This isn't the first time something like this has happened either, even apart from Blaine going to private school. In Guilty Pleasures, when Blaine offers Sam $50 because he knows Sam has been stealing pasta, he says, it's only $50. And then Han has a picture of Lucille Bluth, and it says, it's only pasta, Sam. How much could it cost? $50? Now, obviously, this could be explained by Blaine being a good friend who really wants to help Sam and not feeling like it's enough, which is probably the intention, but I think it would be much funnier if they just played up for comedy how loaded Blaine is and how oblivious he is to that fact. The reason everyone is able to fly back and forth from New York all the time is because Blaine's footing the bill. The reason he gets so many numbers each episode is because he's slipping Mr. Schuster $50 every week. You get the picture. Anyway, hope this all made sense and tickled y'all somewhat. I'm writing this in the middle of the night because me and my girlfriend were just laughing about this. She's actually the one who introduced me to Glee back in 2020, and yet somehow I became more obsessed with it than her. Like Ian, I believe, I'm the same age as Blaine, Sam, Tina, etc., so it kind of makes me feel nostalgic even though I, A, didn't watch it at the time, and B, didn't go to an American high school, and C, wasn't even a theater kid. It's just those 2012-13 leaving school vibes, I guess. Loving the pod, keep it going, you crazy kids. Actually can't wait for you to get to season 6. Have a great day, Han, they, them, from England. Han, I hope this isn't a Star Wars episode 4 situation where, like, it's actually Han and we keep saying Han.
Totally. No so, one can get on the same page.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing about that movie. I'm like, how? And they also do, it's like someone says Princess Leia at some point.
Yeah, totally.
George Lucas really said, it's whatever you want it to be. I don't care. And then they had a language war on how to pronounce the names. However, in Empire Strikes Back, Lando still fully says Han. So not everyone got on board with the Han. But Han or Han from England, our apologies.
Yeah.
For whichever one of those is incorrect that we said.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, first of all, the way you won me over with an Arrested Development reference, bless you. When I read this email for the first time, laughed out loud. Specifically, nothing is like more comedic to me than a very well-known meme that someone horribly photoshops the text over to make it mean something else.
That's my favorite thing in the world.
Like the one of Sue Sylvester that says, I'm going to create an environment so toxic, and then someone blacks it out.
I know you put that in on Snapchat, and I love that.
Yes! Someone blacks it out, so it says, I'm going to create toxic, and it's like Britney Spears and whatever your toxic came out. So love this meme that you sent us. It's incredible. Also, I did not clock the piano at all, but you are so right. And I think it is true that Blaine's family is rich, like you say. Like, there's plenty of evidence. We've seen his home. We've seen his bedroom. His bedroom is so nice. But I agree, it would have been so fun to use it for comedy. Just like Richie Rich over here that thinks that he's like lower middle class because he doesn't know any different. And he's like, right. We're all in the same boat, you know? We're all like, giving away pianos $50. As thank you gifts. Seriously, totally. It's just $50.
I am. I like, pianos are just the weirdest instrument to me because I feel like they are so sneakily expensive. Like, of course, when I think about it, I'm like, oh yeah, of course, pianos are very expensive. But like, oh my God, like even secondhand white baby grands, those are like $1 million.
And they still have something beautiful to give.
And you know, that's the truth. That's
something
the truth.
Secondhand and broken can make a pretty sound.
That song is so weird.
The piano is her. It's beautiful. She feels secondhand and broken. I like that song because it's based on a real like fact about her life that she had that piano growing up. We're talking about Smash, everyone. For all 99% of you that were like, where did we just veer off to?
They know. Just kidding.
They have a musical about Marilyn Monroe, and she sings a song about the secondhand white baby grand piano she had growing up.
Not my favorite song.
It's a metaphor for
Smash,
herself.
I'll tell you.
Oh, it's a skip for sure.
Yeah.
For sure a skip.
There are some real bangers. Sometimes I'm like, on Lexington and 52nd Street. And
that
I'm like,
song.
Who wrote that? That's a perfect song.
I'm so glad you say that because I always tell people that's one of my favorites. And they're always like, that's your favorite?
No,
sorry,
it's
a banger.
Good.
Yeah. But secondhand white baby grand, dig deep at your feet, skip, skip, skip. I'm so sorry. I don't listen to those songs unless I'm really going to sit down and listen to the whole album.
Yeah. I think this is a joke that I'm going to lock in so hard, Han/Han. The joke of the reason that Blaine is so successful for any reason is just he's like slipping people 50s. He's like, he gets all the solos because he's paying people. He like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's because he paid for it. It's okay. Like, he's just loaded. It's cool. You know, I think that's really funny.
I also think I just think it's a very good idea. Okay, what did I just say? We're taking that all again. I'm going to say the same thought, but I'm going to word it better. Are you ready?
Okay,
take
cool.
two.
Got it.
I so agree. And I think, like you kind of point out, Han/Han, it does seem like the writers are like purposely saying that he's rich, but like the comedy of it that you're suggesting that's lost fits Glee so well that I'm like, it would totally fit in the world of this show if he was just so comedically, you know, throwing money at everything. It'd be like Sugar Mata.
Yeah, totally.
My name is Blaine. My superpower is money.
Money.
So.
Oh my God. I love you,
also,
Sugar.
You are correct. I am class of 2013, so we are the same age. Shout out, best year for music ever. 10-year high school reunion is next year. That grosses me out.
Ew. Well, Han/Han, thank you so much for this message. Let us know how to say your name correctly. We'll say it correctly.
Yes.
All right. Up next, we have a message from Nicole.
Hey, guys. Fantastic episode as always. You've made my commutes to work so much better. I have taken to finishing the episode in the office, and it is truly a struggle not to laugh loudly and draw attention to myself when I should be working. Most of my thoughts on this episode are not actual thoughts and are instead assorted mini thoughts that I find fun. Overall, I agree with you guys that this episode is not bad, but also just truly unremarkable. Instead of anything of substance, please enjoy some random commentary of related things from this episode. The old man during Piano Man. I've seen a decent amount of people decide that he's Blaine from the future here to watch his past self perform. For a fandom with no canon supernatural elements, the fandom sure has a lot of time travel headcanons. We have Rory being Clayne's child, Sugar being Britannia's child, Harmony being either Faberi or a Finchel baby, and now random old guy being future Blaine. Santana and Kurt's friendship is absolutely the highlight of the episode for me. They should have had more storylines together because they are truly so fun together. Kurt deciding Santana is going to do Blaine's makeup before his audition, dancing together in the Bruno Mars song, just random bits of dialogue where they playfully bitch at each other. They had so much chemistry, and it's truly a shame that all the Kurtana friendship scenes throughout the show are not actual plot lines, because it is usually the most memorable part of the episode for me. Hot Rachel can go fall into a hole. I don't want her on my screen being hot quirky. Underutilized dynamic that would have improved the Sam plot for me is if we replace Rachel with Santana. I adore them as frenemies, and Santana working as essentially his agent for an episode would have been way more fun, especially as, very slight spoiler for later episode, Alex look away. Santana will later have this type of plot with Rachel in Old Dog New Tricks, and it feels very natural for her character, and I would love if they decided that Santana should go into PR. It would also work with the body issue / eating disorder element, as Santana is also someone who has dealt with that. Sam and Santana are just a very fun dynamic, and I would rather have this comedic duo than a kind of gross romance setup. Last but not least, little moment I loved is the moment Marley is talking to her mom, and her mom managed to embarrass Marley in the way all children get embarrassed by hearing about their parents' sex lives. It was just really sweet and felt true to life. I love hearing that you guys are getting into the season of the holidays, despite it only being November. Best friend of the podcast, Nicole. Nicole, despite it only being November...
Hey, I'm a December 1st. I'm honestly usually like mid-December kind of Christmas gal. I'm ready this year. I'm ready to party.
What are you doing in November?
Celebrating Christmas. I just bought a Christmas tree.
No, I'm talking about other years.
Me?
Yeah.
In November? I'm still celebrating Halloween and I'm prepping for Thanksgiving and I'm just being myself. I'm just being regular.
Here's the piping hot tea that I literally probably say on this podcast every year when it gets to November.
Yeah.
There's all these people who are like, don't start celebrating Christmas yet, because what about Thanksgiving? As someone who, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, how do you recommend I celebrate Thanksgiving before the day of? Besides watching Freaky Friday, there's literally nothing to do.
Getting thankful, bitch. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Here's the deal.
I wanted Christmas that to come across aggressive. I hope you don't feel aggression. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You're good. It was funny.
Okay, good.
But, like, that's also the vibe of Christmas. Like, Halloween and Christmas are diametrically opposed. I totally get the whole, like, when stores start putting out the Christmas decorations and it's still October, like, how dare you chill out? There's another holiday. And despite what Nightmare Before Christmas says, like, they don't go together super well. But Thanksgiving and Christmas are first cousins, you know? They're both about, like, looking for the positive in life, being thankful. So... why on earth, like, celebrating Christmas early, Nicole, does not mean that you aren't respecting Thanksgiving?
Let me tell you why I don't celebrate Christmas early or any holiday early. Christmas makes me sad, so I don't sad early. I like to get sad a little later.
But here's the deal. And also, Nicole, I hope you know that this is very tongue-in-cheek at you. I'm literally not angry or upset at all that you said this. But here's the deal with you, Lena. Never once have I seen you shame another person because they were celebrating the holiday early, you know? That's where I take umbrage with it. Like, live your life, but, like, if someone else is listening to Christmas music, is that really, like, affecting you that much? I don't know. I guess when it's all over, it kind of has to affect you.
Yeah, once it's like, I feel like when it's in the stores, it's like, okay,
yeah.
Like, we're pushing something that I'm not ready for. I'm not ready for this, you know? Someone in their own home listening to Christmas music doesn't bother me. I'm not going to say anything. On to your thoughts in this email. I love them. Thank you for bringing up the time travel headcanons. I love these. Every time I hear about them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this. And I especially love the idea that this old man is just Blaine hanging out at the diner. Like, what the heck? What are you doing here, Blaine? And I love that. And I love the idea that Santana and Sam replacing the Santana Rachel, Sam Rachel like aspect would have been way funnier and like a fun frenemies type deal. I think that would have been great.
All this, all of these thoughts are fantastic.
Definitely.
The Santana thoughts are so excellent. Like the Santana Kurt dynamic, you're right, is such a fun dynamic that we don't get to see enough, and that's really sad. But also, I so agree with you, Lena, and I also so agree with you, Nicole, because you're the one who brought it up in the first place. this having Santana do the Sam stuff would be so much more interesting.
Yeah.
It would bring a very fun dynamic into the show. Like, their dynamic has always been very, I don't want to say interesting again, because I'm a linguist. I should have a broader vocabulary than that.
Come on.
It would be so fascinating.
Grab your thesaurus, kids.
Fascinating. I already do like that plot line. I don't love it, but I don't have like big issues with it. But I think if you replaced Rachel with Santana, it would become a plot line that I really, really liked.
Yeah, totally. I love all these thoughts. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing them. Also, hot, quirky, gross, bon hole, Rachel.
Now,
thank you.
Is it... I hope this isn't a Star Wars Episode 4 situation where like some people are saying Nicole and some people are saying Nicole. So if it's Nicole, please let us know. We're very sorry.
Please let us know. Thanks, Nicole. Nicole. See you later. Up next, we have... this could be a Star Wars situation as well. We have a message from someone named Rachel, but it could be Rochelle.
So I've always heard Rochelle. Rochelle, let us know.
Let's Aunt go Rochelle. Rachel for now. But
okay.
Correct us if it's wrong. Rachel, you're up next. Rochelle, maybe. I don't know. Rachel.
We'll find out.
Could be like Star Wars.
Hi, Lena and Ian. This episode got me thinking about the strategy of choosing songs. By far, my favorite covers, and the ones I'm most willing to spend money on, are the ones that are different from what I already have access to. Whether it's because they are arranged differently, mashed up, or are sung by different voice parts than the originals. I've been surprised at how often the Glee covers closely match the originals, because I think they'd make more money if they mix things up more. Then again, after hearing Ryan Murphy talk about the chaos and fast pace of producing the show on Jen and Kevin's podcast, maybe that would have been asking too much. Meanwhile, I'm of the Billy Joel era. The songs in this episode were so important to me growing up, and no matter how good Jake's performance was, his version of My Life will never be able to compete with the original that I spent hours shout singing in my room in my angsty teen years. If it was on my playlist, I would always hit skip on the Gleecast version of that, and same for Movin' Out, Piano Man, and so on. So I appreciate that they probably had to cover those songs, and I did enjoy watching them in the moment, but at the same time, I'm not spending my money on them when I've already got the real thing. You know what I did spend my money on? Just the Way You Are, because it had a totally different sound than the original, and New York State of Mind, because it was sung by high voices. And you know what I would have loved to spend my money on? Tina singing Vienna. Now that I know she wished she could have sung that, I'm really feeling like they did Tina and all of us so wrong by missing that opportunity. Insert jingle here.
Tina, they did you so wrong, Tina, Cohen Chang.
But back to what it got me thinking about. I'm the oddball of Gleeks for being from the Billy Joel era. What about you, the target audience? What artists are untouchable to you, like Billy Joel is to me? Is there anything that if covered too well, meaning it sounds a lot like the original, would make you feel like you were cheating on your one true love if you put it on a playlist? Is there anyone you think they should have stayed away from, or have you ever thought it's just as well that they didn't step onto the hallowed ground of insert your favorite artist here? Also, shout out to the beautiful relationship between Marley and her mom and the way they can talk so candidly about such personal things. And shout out to the moment where I cringed when Marley's mom kissed Marley's gloved hand. Ew. I didn't even think about that. Hope you have a yummy and pleasant Thanksgiving. I will, as usual, skip Thanksgiving and instead spend it driving to an out-of-state event for my kids. Don't state shame me at my part of New York to this part of Pennsylvania will take me about 5 hours. I'm sure I'll be binging your old episodes to keep me alert and happy during all my travels. I did that last year, too. I guess that makes you my Thanksgiving tradition. Weird Auntie Rachel Rochelle. You know, put the Lindsay Lohan back into Thanksgiving, but also, if you want to, put the Recovering Gleek back into Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. I kind of love that. Oh, my God, Rachel, that makes me so happy. I love that.
I agree with everything you said, Rachel, in the sense that I don't listen to these songs outside of the episode because I'm like, I will listen to the original. But also, like you said, I just don't think it was possible. Like, with the demands that were being placed on this show and how many songs they were trying to crank out every week, I don't think they had the bandwidth to, like, keep coming up with original arrangements and covers as much as I wish they would have.
We've looked into this a little bit, like, there are artists who straight up accuse Glee of like stealing backing tracks as well as like, you know, stealing arrangements. There are artists who think that like they ripped their like arrangement from, you know, their songs. So I think it comes down to like they're pumping out so many songs and we don't know how like dedicated they're being to like arranging them all themselves. So I think at some point they're just kind of like copying because they just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. And they're just like putting out like their best cover of the song as a cover of the song rather than like a new arrangement. You know?
Yeah. I will say, the Glee covers I listen to the most are the ones that, like you said, feel different than the original song. But also, every once in a while, I will listen to a cover that, like, you know, is maybe a similar voice type to the original and a similar arrangement, but in the story of the episode, it was such a, like, powerful emotional moment that it really works for me. Which I don't think is super true of this episode, but like occasionally when the songs are so incredibly well placed and well executed, even if it isn't an original arrangement, I like to listen to the Glee cover because I think of the context of what's happening in the situation and I'm like, oh, wow, so beautiful.
Like, oh my God, they did this song on Glee. Yeah, totally. What are like some of your artists that like feel untouchable? I feel like I can't think of one off the bat other than like Taylor Swift, but I'm also thinking that like they really just didn't do well out of Taylor Swift on this show.
Which shout out to who emailed us? I'll find it. Someone emailed us. Oh, Brie. It was Brianna. Brianna emailed us last minisode about the Ryan Murphy interview, and she said, like, what do you think of his thoughts that he regrets not doing a Taylor Swift episode? And I hadn't listened to part two yet, so I said, I'm not sure if that's a joke or not. Fully not a joke. He says his biggest regret as far as music goes is that they didn't cover more Taylor Swift. So and then he said, and to make up for it, I'm going to scalp a bunch of tickets off Ticketmaster and sell them for $95,000.
Is gross. Can't believe you're a scalper, Ryan Murphy. Just kidding, that was all a joke.
However, me personally, I don't have any artists that I'm like, Glee cannot touch them, specifically because something I like about Glee, like, I have not been soft-spoken on the fact that it bothers me how much Glee puts in music just to sell songs on iTunes instead of further the plot. But one of the positive outcomes of that is it introduces very talented artists to a new generation.
Totally.
And so I'm kind of like, having an artist I like beyond Glee is a win-win. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, it's mainstream now. I don't like it anymore. I liked it better when no one knew about it but me. Like, the more the merrier. Now everyone knows I have great taste because everyone likes the same things I do. So, like, any artist that I like, I would be thrilled to see covered on Glee because then more people get to listen to them and hear them. Totally. So I don't really have one that I'm like, they should have never gone there. However, I can guarantee, like, Neon Trees is one of my favorite bands ever. Have I literally ever once in my life listened to the Glee cover of Everybody Talks? No. I will listen to the Neon Trees cover every time because the Glee cover is the same song, but just worse version. But I'm happy they did it because I like that song and I'm glad, like, more people heard it. Although it was kind of, they did that one because it was on the radio, not because they were trying to introduce it.
Yeah, they're like, let's get Neon Trees to the kids. And like off the top of my head, all my favorite Glee songs are ones that they have like arranged in a new fun way or like introduced me to a band that or like a song that I had never heard of. Like, y'all know I'm not gonna teach your boyfriend to dance with you. I'd never heard that song before. And then I heard that song and I love that song, I love that cover, and I found that band. Like, hello. Barely Breathing by Duncan Sheik. Sure, I had heard that song, but they did a new fun thing with it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to say right here, right now, Brave.
Say it.
I think...
You're so brave.
And they never did, thankfully. But I think Glee never should have covered Beethoven.
Wow.
Untouchable.
I don't know that I agree, but...
Introduce Beethoven to a whole new generation of children. That could be good.
Yeah. I don't know that I'm ready for Beethoven to go mainstream, though.
I want him to stay underground for a while.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I'll think about it a little, and I'm sure I'll think of like 10 more. Beethoven, Mozart. Genuinely. And honestly, like every time a new musical comes onto the scene, I think, like, what would happen if Glee did this? And I cringe a little. So there's so many songs that I don't want Glee to do, like, just as songs.
Musicals, I feel differently about. I'm fine with them doing, like, songs from the musical in a new context, but doing, like, a full musical tribute episode, because, like, we talked about with Rocky Horror, like, Rocky Horror is so fun and great, but it raises so many ethical questions when it's like, this adult is making his teenage students perform this show. So there's plenty of musicals that I would not want them to do tribute episodes of, just because I'm like, you shouldn't be doing this show. But the song, if they took the song and like independently just did it on the show, whatever.
You know the most like 2013 thing they never did?
What?
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Let's do a Dr. Horrible episode of Glee. I would watch it. I cannot believe my eyes.
I was just thinking like 2013, like what was so in the zeitgeist.
Was that big in 2013? That's like 2008.
Is it? Well,
it's a writer's strike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was very popular when I was in school, like when I was in high school. So I'm not sure, but like it was... And that's when I heard about it, and like it was all over Tumblr at that time, at least. Maybe it was just popular for a while and I just discovered it then. But like every single person in my class for like musical theater day in like advanced acting in high school, like three different groups did Dr. Horrible stuff.
Heck yeah.
I know. I really don't even think they were allowed, but they did anyway.
Dr. Horrible is a banger.
Yeah. That show was good. Well, Weird Auntie Rachel, thanks so much for this message. And we'll see you on Thanksgiving. See you later.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Okay, up next we have a message from someone I don't really know. I would say Anthony, but I've heard it.
See, I've always
Antony
heard it.
Antony before?
I've heard it Antony.
Antony. So it's kind of like a Star Wars thing. We're not really on the same page. Will you let us know? Anthony, you go next.
Or Antony, let us know.
Yeah.
Hi, Ian and Lena. Oh boy, I've always remembered season 5 as the odd stepchild of the Glee seasons. But the shining moment of this season has always been the Just the Way You Are number. You both said it best. The New York plotline grew so much with the addition of Santana mid-season 4, but the addition of Blam makes it feel complete. The five of them singing in the loft gives me flashbacks to the original five singing Sit Down, You're Rocking the Boat in the pilot. Five choir kid weirdos performing for no one but themselves. Nye's performance is perfection. From breaking the fourth wall, admitting to always breaking out into unnecessary songs, to eventually joining in singing into a hairbrush, this is the post-graduation Glee I want. Kids singing into hairbrushes in their NYC apartment about their friendships and dreams for the future. Spoiler alert! But if Glee kept this feeling when it transitioned full-time to NYC in the latter half of the season, I think the show would have been perfect. Also, Sam's whole awkward vibe is the perfect foil to the completely intolerable new Rachel. Is it because they gave him pseudo-Finn dialogue? Probably. Am I willing to forgive this? Yes. This episode aside, I would love if once you finish with your rewatch of the series, you start over, but by listening to Jenna and Kevin's podcast, you can comment on all the behind-the-scenes stories. That, or continue with the Ryan Murphy cinematic universe and cover Scream Queens. Sincerely, a recovering Gleek, Anthony Antony.
It's kind of a Star Wars thing. We don't know. We're not on the same page. Will you let us know? Honestly, I love this. I think, and that is like the natural progression of like weird choir kids going to be weird adults and trying to figure out the world and singing into hairbrushes and like being very poor in their Bushwick apartments. Like this like feels very like like a show that I would certainly watch. Like these kids just like singing and being weird. You know what I mean? I'm yeah. into this.
Glee just made the jump from children to like fully fledged adults way too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I am much more interested in their transition phase where they are essentially kids in adult bodies like you are when you're 18, 19 and you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, seriously. Like, they want me to pay taxes. I have never driven a car.
At 27 years old, still literally like get stress blackouts about paying taxes because it is, well, why is it so hard?
No, they make it hard on purpose. They want it's to send terrible. You to jail. I'm serious.
Every time that tax season comes around, I'm not kidding. I have the thought, is making money worth this?
No. And then it's it is.
I need to be able to survive. But it's so, it'll never be okay.
No.
I will always hate it.
Yeah. And especially like, I don't know if you feel this way too, like getting money from like different avenues is like very mm-hmm. difficult to
it's
track.
It's so hard. Uh-huh.
Like getting like a theater job plus this side project plus like doing DoorDash, like plus all your Venmo transactions, like getting that all together uh-huh. is a nightmare. I'm sure for like some people who like work at just like a company the whole year long and just are do a regular job, it's like, I don't know, probably also hard, but like sitting down to like look at all my PayPal stubs, I'm like, I'm gonna die if anyone mm-hmm. what money, why don't we just print more? Stupid.
But I agree, Anthony. I just like the dynamic of them being friends and the dynamic of them being Mary, Charlie, and Frank singing Our Time at the end of Merrily mm-hmm. We Roll Along. Yeah, that's what totally. I want a show about. We already have a show about that. It's called Merrily We Roll Along. And spoiler alert, it's not happy. But that's
it
what
ends
I want.
Happy,
it ends happy. No, it ends ironic happy where you know everything's about to go to crap. That show is so beautiful. Anyways.
That show is upsetting.
But that's the vibe that I want, and I agree it's so strong in that one song, and I would love to hear more of it. Just weird theater kids, weird choir kids, having big dreams and trying to figure out life.
Yeah.
Instead of like hot 20-somethings taking the city by storm.
At least in Sex and the City, they're like in their 30s and like have like established careers. Like I feel like that's the time you get to be hot, like running around in the mm-hmm. city. You can't be like mm-hmm. 20 and doing that. You don't know how to pay taxes yet. I don't know how to pay taxes yet.
Also, I started showing my coworker Scream Queens two nights ago. And it was so embarrassing because he did not find it as funny as me.
No.
Okay, first of all, this is comedy gold. Spoiler alert for the literal first episode of Scream Queens. It's the scene where Chanel number 2 gets murdered and she and the killer keep texting each other the whole time. Mm-hmm. He stabs her and she starts running, and as she's running, she texts, "Please stop, please stop." And I'm literally cackling. Silence from the other side of the room. You can hear a pin drop. I was like, shoot, if you don't find this funny, this is not the show for you. Like, this is very much the vibe of this entire show. So,
seriously. Anthony, let us know. It's kind of like a Star Wars thing. Up next, we have a message from, I really can't make this up. I cannot make this up. We have a message from someone named May, but mm-hmm. I'm nervous it could be me. So please let us know. It's kind of like Star Wars when they couldn't get on the same page like Han and Han. You know what I'm saying? I cannot make this up.
What I love about this one is it's a double joke.
No sense.
It could be that her name is me, or you're also afraid that the message is from you, Lena, but you're using a fake name.
It could be. Let's listen in and see.
Based on what this girl said, honestly, I think I might have sent this email. Let's find out.
Hey,
Lena and Ian. My name is May. Maybe me. She, her. And I absolutely love the pod so freaking much. Y'all have gotten me through some pretty rough times, and right now I feel like y'all are like my best friends. I started listening this past June, and I caught up about a week and a half ago. And not gonna lie, a little sad that when I finally catch up, I have to start waiting a whole week to listen to a new episode. So I, no joke, started re-listening starting from the pilot. Not mad at all, though. I totally understand the situation and have loved re-listening to those early episodes. I'll be doing the dishes and start absolutely dying of laughter, and my dad will be like, "Are you good?" And I'm shedding real tears, like, no, this girl on a podcast I listen to just said that every time she even looks at milk, her butt explodes. I'm not okay. True story. Anyways, I wanted to let y'all know that you are very loved and appreciated and bring me so much joy. Okay, on to my question and answer part of the email. Recently, I started doing things just because they would make a good story later on in life, even if I'm embarrassed in the moment. Like, I recently texted this person I no longer live near that I used to like them, and they ended up saying that they felt the same way during the same relative time frame. So, dumb missed opportunity. But based off of this, I have two questions for y'all. Have you ever done something just because it would make a good story? Have you ever liked someone, done something about it, and then later discovered something could have happened? The second one might be too personal, so you don't have to answer that one if you don't want to, but I'm very curious about that first one. Also, I super miss when y'all would cast Glee members as different characters and things, so Shrek the Musical, who would play who? Sorry this email is all over the place, but I just wanted to thank y'all for making my life a little better. I wish y'all the absolute best. XOXO, go piss girl.
Go piss girl.
Honestly, I will.
Could have been either of us sending in this message. Sounds like us.
Truly, truly.
I love this message. As someone who struggles to go to the grocery store without having a panic attack, I kind of have to do this kind of stuff with, like, smaller things than you would think. Like, sometimes I'm like, what is good for the plot right now? What would the best version of Lena from this book do? Seriously. And I'll be like, she brushes her teeth right now. You know what I mean? Have I ever done anything, like, extra brave that is like that? I don't know. Have you?
Yeah, I've worked on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
That's no joke. Said, that why I took that's why I took this job.
Hell yeah.
Because I had a steady acting job back in New York. I mean, there was also a pay increase that was enticing. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah. I had a steady acting job back in New York. I felt like I was just getting settled into the city. I like felt like I had a community there, all this stuff. And then literally I was a last minute replacement for this contract. Someone dropped out and they called me and I had 2 weeks to get to California. So I got the call and they were like, we need you here in 2 weeks. And I was so freaked out by it. It just like wasn't a lot of time. I didn't really have any time to think about it. It was such a long contract. Literally the deciding factor was, wouldn't it be so cool in 10 years to talk about how one time I worked on a cruise ship?
I love that. I do find myself talking about like things that have bad things that have happened to me or like frustrating things that have happened to me in a better light because I'm like, honestly, that's a mm-hmm. good story. And I'm happy like that I have now this like funny, embarrassing story to tell. And I also feel like sometimes like when I'm at a crossroads, I like to think like, where do I want to be in a year? Like, what am I going to be proud of in a year? Like, it's not like... it's just like I think a different way of looking at that. So I kind of do that kind of stuff. And like moving to New York was a big one. That was like, I was like, even if I crash and burn and only live there for 2 weeks, like I know I'll have done it and I can say I've done it, you know.
I don't plan ahead, which is not like a good thing, but I'm just not a person who plans ahead really. I'm much more like, what's going to make the most interesting experience and what will make the most interesting story in the future. So I actually make a lot of my decisions based on like, will this make a good story? Let's do it.
I love that.
I mean, it's worked out so far, so hopefully it keeps working out.
I love that. That's awesome. Honestly, I'm going to start doing this more because I feel like very excited by this idea and I feel like just as a person, I love, like, you know, good stories and good plots and, like, good, like, things that happen in stories. So why not, like, treat my life like that? I love that. That actually makes me excited for living my life. So thanks for inspiring me, May. Also, thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate that you're here. Thank you for being here. When it comes to Shrek the Musical, I think we have casted Shrek before.
I'm fairly certain we have.
Yeah, and that's the reason we don't do it as often anymore, because people ask us to do them, and it's usually like a one we've done before. Like, so if you ask us to cast Heathers, we've already casted Heathers before. We could, I mean, in the future, if people are interested, we could do it with the newbies. What do you think?
I'm like, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
It's just, it usually takes like a large chunk of the minisode. And so like when it's dedicating so much of a minisode to a show that we have done in the past, we usually just assume don't do it.
So if there's a musical that we haven't done, send it in and we'll do it.
Yeah, but like
we've done so many of them.
Like who would play who in I Had a Ball?
You know, I don't even know because I've never heard of this.
I literally know nothing about it but one song.
But I love this message. And but if that is something people are interested in, if people want to hear recasts with the newbies, I'm here to give the people what they want. I am the people's podcast host.
Heck
we
yeah.
are the people's podcast hosts. We'll do that. But just let us know and we'll do it. If we want
have
to recast ever, other shows. Sorry.
Have you ever had the whole liked someone, done nothing about it, and then found out they have the same feeling for you, you don't have to talk about it? Do you have an experience with that to share?
I had someone like write in my yearbook that they had a crush on me, but it was like someone I knew had a crush on me. Honestly, I don't think so. There have been people that I've had crushes on that I've never done anything about, specifically the queer crushes that I've done nothing about. And I couldn't tell you if they liked me back. I have this super secret power where people don't have crushes on me, people fall in love with me. I'm serious. No one I know has ever had a crush on me that hasn't like fully dated me and you know, fallen in love with me. So I'm not crushable.
I have drama with this.
Spill.
I had a friend, I mean, like, I won't say who it is, so I guess I'm fine to share this information. I had a friend who, like, I had a huge crush on. It's a whole confusing story that I'll probably get into at the end of this. I had a friend who had a huge crush on for, like, literal years of my life. And I had, like, whispers that, like, she maybe had a crush on me. But I was never super sure. And there were also like a bunch of other reasons that I never like felt comfortable to do anything about it. Most of which was just like weird self-consciousness issues. Anyways, nothing happened. And then it got to the point where I was like, I just like, this has been haunting me for years. And just like these unrequited feelings. And I don't want to have any regrets and be like, what would have happened? So I literally wrote her an email. Told her everything, sent it, never heard anything back. And was like, well, that answers that. And we straight up kind of stopped talking after that because, like, how do you come back from that? You like put it all out there to someone and then they don't respond. And literally, fast forward multiple years, we start talking again. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, this is weird that we're talking again and she is super not acknowledging like this big vulnerable thing I did that. Just straight up got swept under the rug. So finally I got the courage up to be like, so did you ever get an email from me that said this? Turns out she looked it up in her email. It was unopened. She had never gotten the notification that it came through.
No way.
Bizarre. Bizarre. Anyways, it all worked out. I honestly am like, maybe that was the universe being like, this isn't meant to be. Because looking back, I don't know. Looking back, I'm like, how much of this do I want to say on the podcast for the general public? But it's like, looking back, I don't know how much of my feelings for her were like genuine romantic feelings and how much of it was like compulsive heterosexuality and she's like the one who fit the mold I was looking for the best. Because, you know, sure. like, I had very strong feelings towards her. I also was, like, a hormonal teenager. And we never, yeah. we never like, did anything. Like, we never, like, held hands. We never kissed, whatever. So it's easy to have, like, an unrequited crush on someone that you is far away. So I kind of feel like if she had read the email, it would have complicated things. So maybe it was the universe throwing me a bone by being like, this is going to slip through the cracks. But very bizarre circumstance. And it was like after she saw the email, we did talk about it. And it was like we both had unrequited crushes on each other wow. for years. But we were passing ships in the night and nothing ever happened. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hopefully that was okay for me to share. If not, you don't know what her name is. So yeah, none of you will ever identify her. Oh, well.
Thank you so much for this message. And thanks to all who sent us messages. Be sure to let us know how you say your names.
Heck yeah. All right. So relative pitch game. The songs in this episode, all by Billy Joel. We got Moving Out, open parentheses, Anthony or Antony's song. Piano Man, My Life. Honesty, An Innocent Man, Just the Way You Are, You May Be Right. Lena, you're up first, and you're going to sing Just the Way You Are by yes. Bruno Mars.
I think it's Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar. Oh my God! Sorry, I'm getting so many messages. And I don't see you anymore.
Okay, so you are doing a C sharp to an F to an A sharp, the do 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 C sharp, F, C sharp, A sharp. You're a half step off, sorry.
No, dang it. I thought it was so close.
No, I mean it was so close, but it wasn't damn. Exactly on. But no cigar.
Damn. So I want you to sing It's My Life, It's Now or never. It could be like a Star Wars thing. I'm not sure which one it is.
Okay. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone. Keep it to yourself. It's my life. That's what I think it is. So let's find out what that is. Okay, so I think the My Life is an E to a G sharp. So I was not even close. That's a G to a B. Right. So I was a minor third off. Good for me. So close.
I love that.
I'm incredible. I'm very musically gifted. And I think at this point we have proved that I have relative pitch. So good
I think
for
you
me.
Are.
And this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for having relative pitch.
You have such good relative pitch on you.
For always being able to remember the exact key that every song is yeah. in. Good for me.
Me too, honestly. I never make mistakes, never, not once.
Hear me out. That's pretty true for relative pitch. You get it wrong like one every five times.
We have different musical abilities, you and me. I can recall something okay, but there is no way that I could sit there and like pick out the pitches on the piano, though. So we've got different musical abilities. You're doing the heavy lifting over there.
I mostly just sing the note and then plunk out the pitches as I hold the note until I find the one that matches.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Hey-o.
I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for you as well. And I'm thankful for everyone listening.
Yeah, I am thankful for everyone listening. And I'm thankful to everyone who sent us messages and who follows us on social media. You can follow us on social media if you want. I'll be thankful for you.
Think about it.
We're @AverCoveringGleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram and @AverCoveringGreek on Twitter. But I don't even know if Twitter's going to last much longer. I hear it's going away. So,
hey-o, you know. Honestly, that might be for the betterment of mankind. I'm going to be honest. If you have thoughts on Glee, specifically on the episode Puppet Master, which we're going to be talking about next week, send them to recoveringgleek@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. Have a great rest of your week. If you celebrate Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving. If you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, watch Freaky Friday anyway. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen to watch Freaky Friday. It's a movie for everyone.
It is. It is. It's very... If you want to hear us talk about Freaky Friday in the Thanksgiving spirit, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/recoveringleak, and we talk about it. It's pretty fun.
All right. Love you all. Thanks for being here.
Love you. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.